This episode contains themes of sexual assault, as well as slurs that are both racist and homophobic. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of the Prime Time True Crime Podcast. I'm Robin.
I'm Brody.
And today we're going to bring you a case that sort of captivated my attention for the last few weeks.
Yeah, you've been kind of stuck on this one. You've been pushing me to watch, I think, the movie based around it and listen to like a couple podcasts on it, that sort of thing.
I was so interested in it that we forgot to record an episode last week.
Yeah, I was meant to do it, and Rob's like, no, I just need to watch a bit more of this. And
I need to really get invested and understand all the facts before I present this one.
Yeah, so sorry about the delay on episodes, but we're back again, so.
Yeah, so I was listening to, I've mentioned them a few times, but the Case File podcast, and currently I'm going through the podcasts and cases that I'm not familiar with, and came across this one. So I'd really like to share this one and see what you guys think.
What kind of drove you to be interested in this case?
I think because it's more recent and it's regarding the MSN online chat. Do you remember that? About early 2000s?
I'm a little bit too young for that.
I didn't use it either, but yeah. I definitely remember older kids.
I jumped on Facebook. I only really started going online and talking to people maybe like grade 7 to 8. So
I think it was relatable in that sense that internet crimes are becoming incredibly more common and they are incredibly interesting, such as Silk Road, which we've already looked at.
Yeah. Alright, cool. Let's get into it. Cool, so let's get into it.
Alright, so this one is in Manchester in the United Kingdom, and as I said, we're in 2003. So, MSN...
I'm pretty sure Wayne Rooney still at Manchester United at this stage, then.
Oh, definitely. I definitely follow soccer.
Does he come into this case at all?
No.
Alright, cool.
Sorry, he wasn't on the MSN chat.
You don't know that. You can't confirm or deny that.
Sorry. So what was set up was basically an MSN chat group for young kids that were living in the Manchester area to sort of get to know each other and make friends and start relationships. So you remember when you were 16, were you interested in girls at that point?
Oh, I was dating, like, really early on in high school, so...
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I, like, met girls over Facebook around 13, 14, so I think even... In like 2010, it became more normalised to kind of make friends online, especially going to an all boys school.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a good opportunity to meet women within school.
So our main character is Mark, and he's 16 years old. And in 2003, Mark is using the Manchester group chat for MSN Teens, and using this service, he meets a girl around the same age named Rachel West.
I assume that's how we kind of use Facebook Messenger groups and sort of Facebook groups and that sort of like Discord things to talk to each other now.
I imagine so. I mean, as I said, I was only 6 in 2003, so I definitely wasn't using MSN chat rooms.
And you weren't from Manchester?
No, but what I remember, definitely people still use it in primary school, and it was very much just... Message.
I'm very sure it was anonymous too, so you didn't have to... you could just have like a screen name and not like an actual identity tied to you.
But you didn't have like a Facebook wall or a... I don't think you had a profile.
It was just like a chat, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of sort of like a Messenger sort of thing.
So over a few months, Mark and Rachel sort of get to know each other. Mark develops feelings. There's a bit of a sexualized conversation going on between them.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
And in April of 2003, Mark ends up admitting to Rachel that he's falling in love with her and he'd love to meet up with her soon.
Aww.
So, yeah.
Probably a 40-year-old guy, isn't it?
Also during this time, Rachel has introduced her 14-year-old brother, John.
Okay. I don't often bring my siblings into conversation with people I'm trying to, like, get with.
Well, no, there was an explanation for this one, actually.
All right, what was
Rachel sort of said that her and John were actually being threatened online. So I don't know why you'd bring your brother online. If just turn off the computer, don't bring him into it.
But I don't think you should be excluded from an online space just because some people are being dicks to you.
Anyway, Rachel and John were being threatened online with abduction and sexual assault.
Okay, that's a bit... That's probably more police than...
Yep. By someone known as Kevin. So the reason that Rachel brought John online was to introduce him to Mark and ask Mark to befriend John as a favour for her.
It's kind of like a big brother sort of system. Role,
saying that John doesn't really have many friends, he's a bit lonely.
Yeah.
And the boys did become good friends, and they did meet in real life, and they hung out. And
so, 16 to 14, you said?
Yeah, Mark's 16, and John's 14.
Okay, so it's not that uncommon.
No. Soon, Kevin actually contacts Mark himself, so the one that's been threatening and abusing Rachel and John. And Kevin says that if Mark doesn't perform sexual acts on the webcam, which is what the teens often use to video chat each other, he would hurt Rachel.
I assume that's for blackmail reasons, but...
Yeah, essentially you're saying, if you don't do this on camera, I know where Rachel is, I'm going to go and get her, I'm going to hurt her. And Mark's openly admitted that he's in love with her at this point.
Yeah. I wonder how your boy, who's threatening Mark, got his details.
I don't know if you can... Yeah, as far as I know, you don't have a profile, so I don't know how... Maybe they just saw in the chat room that they were messaging... I don't know if you could see them.
It would be like a mutual Manchester chat, so maybe this other guy is just a Manchester teen.
Or maybe...
With some
you
MSN
could,
dreams.
You could see that they were mutually talking. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. If anyone knows how MSN works, please let us know.
We're definitely too young for this. Maybe that was a good thing. So, not long after Mark... Does that for Kevin. He does get on the webcam and does that for
I assume masturbation Kevin. Would be the...
I think so. That would be what it was.
Like you can suck yourself off or something.
Mark is actually told by John that Rachel's been killed by Kevin. And John goes into some horrific details, including, unfortunately, gang rape and drowning and holding Rachel's head underwater. Just really gruesome content, essentially, was the way that John described Rachel's unfortunate death.
So even though Mark went through with these acts, she was still
hurt. She was still hurting. But John's okay, which is important.
Did the police ever find the guy?
As far as it was made clear, John stated to Mark that there was an investigation, but no, Kevin doesn't seem to have been found as of yet.
Yeah, there's no way you can just get away with that shit.
No. So, obviously, Mark was really upset and miserable and mourning Rachel.
Yeah.
And because of that, his grades began to slip and essentially just sort of slipped into a bit of a depressive state. But also during this time, a new member joins the Manchester MSN chat room. And her name is Lindsay East.
Okay.
And Mark actually starts to begin to develop feelings for Lindsay through the conversations.
How long after?
I think it was a matter of, like it was a 2-3 months after Rachel sort of died, and then Lindsay sort of jumped into the chat, and I think they were talking for a little bit, and then...
Yeah, he wasn't back on the hustle the day after.
No, not the day.
Okay.
But Lindsay also disappears, or is hurt, in mysterious circumstances.
The fuck's going on in Manchester?
Mark's told that Lindsay, unfortunately, was killed by the British government.
What?
Yeah.
What? The state just killed her.
Yeah.
A child.
Yeah, I don't know what she'd done, but...
Does Mark?
No, I don't think Mark was told. She was just killed by the government.
All right. Cool. Who's relaying this information?
Mark.
From who's he told him?
Oh, I'm not sure who actually jumped on Lindsay's account and said that...
She'd been killed by the government.
Yeah.
And Mark just went with this?
Yeah, Mark was like, that's two out of...
Two out of three.
There's two women that I've fallen in love with that... Oh,
okay, moving on.
They've died.
It's really a bit weird.
So Rachel West returns to the chat room.
Hold on, her last name's West?
Yeah.
What was Lindsay's last name?
East.
It's a bit of fucking coincidence, isn't it?
That's a bit of a coinkity.
Alright.
So Rachel returns to the chat room. She tells Mark that she was actually in a coma after Kevin attacked her. And she sort of just got out of that coma and got better.
So the brother lied?
Well, I guess so.
Okay, something's going on here.
She was in a coma.
A little bit sus, you know?
It's about to get worse.
All right.
Rachel says she is now pregnant.
Okay.
And it's Mark's child.
Have they met?
They never met. Remember, she died when Mark wanted to catch up with her.
So he came in his computer and she just like...
Put a USB stick in?
I don't know. That's not how sex or babies work.
So Rachel's now pregnant with Mark's child.
Mark brought this? Okay, does Mark know
He's a little bit confused.
I would be too.
He sort of sits there and he's like, don't think that's how this works.
Alright, don't speak up, Captain.
Don't think I've met you before.
Pro, who are you? Blocked.
Mark's a bit suspicious. But anyway, Rachel goes unresponsive in the chat again and disappears.
Okay.
This is when Janet Dobinson enters.
Okay.
Right.
You sure it's not Janet South or some shit?
No, it's Dobinson. We're not going a direction this time.
All right. This fucking story's got no direction.
So Janet jumps in and she starts chatting to Mark and she sort of gets to the point where she says, yeah, I can trust you, Mark. I feel like you're a trustworthy kind of guy. I feel like I can tell you anything.
From MSN chat logs, she's worked this out.
Yep, she's...
Okay.
She tells Mark that she works for the British Secret Service.
Okay, and she's in a Manchester chat for teens.
Yep.
Right, okay.
And she explains about the Lindsay East stuff, saying that Lindsay also worked for the Secret Service and he was owed an explanation.
A child.
Yeah, apparently. Working for MI5. Like the youth. Yeah, it must be a youth Secret Service. I didn't
Agent
know.
Agent Cody Banks?
Yeah! I didn't know about that.
This is the weirdest Agent Cody Banks movie I've seen, though.
Yeah, but anyway, Janet tells Mark that the reason she wants to chat with him is to do with his friend John.
Okay.
So Mark's told...
Is John a secret agent?
Could be.
Okay.
Mark was told that John actually had a terminal brain tumour.
Oh.
Which was slowly, not rapidly, but slowly killing him.
Yeah.
Which was obviously really upsetting for Mark, because, you know...
I imagine.
He's already confused because John's older sister, Rachel, died and then came back, and then... Now John's got a brain tumour.
Yeah, and he's also going to be a dad soon.
Yeah.
What's going on? That's his grades, so they're still terrible.
Still slipping.
Okay.
But Janet says it's worse for the Secret Service than his emotions, Mark's emotions, because they need John dead.
Why?
Janet tells Mark that John is worth £568 billion.
That's an unbelievable amount of money.
It's a lot of money.
Jeff Bezos is literally about to become like a trillionaire. And that's like halfway to him. So in 2003?
Yeah.
This is pre like Facebook and those sort of empires as well.
Yeah, but John knew that there was a combination actually to a safe in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, which contains the world's richest jewels.
But
John's family.
That doesn't make him worth that.
John's parents apparently are wealthy and.
Yeah, but that's not how wealth works. You don't just find jewels and you instantly become that much. You've got to sell that shit.
Well, Mark buys it. It's sold.
Mark, fucking idiot. What?
Mark was then asked whether he thought he could kill someone.
Okay, just out of the blue, he was asked this?
Well, no, because they need to get rid of John.
She and they want his friend to do it.
Yeah, because Mark's interested in the Secret Service, and he's really keen on joining up as well, and he wants to be a member of it, he wants to get in there. Okay. And Janet says, well, you know, if you could maybe kill someone, you might be under consideration for that one.
An actual license to kill.
Yeah.
To a child.
Yeah.
From someone who works at the Secret Service,
she
MI5.
Says, no, Janet tells him that...
That like, he met like, an MSN messenger.
But Janet tells him by, like, killing John, it's a matter of national security and that he would be highly regarded in the Secret Service.
You said that... We said before that MSN, you didn't need, like, to sign up with an actual account, right?
Yeah.
Right, I'm starting to get a bit sus. Alright,
where are your thoughts at this point?
None of these people are real.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
I know where my head was at this point.
I don't think any of these lads are real.
Alright, so I've got a bit of a chat transcript between Janet and Mark.
Okay.
So, you, as in the letter U.
Uh-huh.
You want me to, the number, kill him, question marks.
Okay.
That's what you're asking me. That was on June 28th, 2003.
Yep.
Yes. And just leave him to die. What should I say to him? Stand there a minute while I stab you. You love him, came the response.
Oh.
I love him, but this has to be done. Take him to a quiet place. Buy knife. Glove.
I'm sorry, she said buy knife.
Hmm?
Not buy a knife. No. Just
buy knife.
Buy knife.
And glove. Just a one glove.
It's actually the glove of the OJ scene.
Where can you buy knives from, by the way?
What a killer hitman.
But her response, boots. Okay, I thought that was funny.
Like
but
the Dora character?
It's actually a drugstore chain.
What?
Boots is an actual drugstore chain in the United Kingdom.
I thought you meant like boots is in like the Dora character. Like, el boots, el knife, you buy. Come to Spania.
Yeah, but anyway, the boots sell many household articles. And a specific brand, Saboteur or Saboteur, kitchen knives.
Okay.
So
kitchen knives, famously very effective at killing people.
Janet was able to answer all of Mark's questions and put any stress that, you know, this is for
national
security.
One of his questions was, where do I buy a knife? So I feel like anyone could answer that.
Mark was also told...
the shops, mate.
Mark was also told, while he stabbed his friend, to say, love you, bro. Make sure he knows you love him.
The secret agent woman said this?
Yep.
Why?
Because...
Yeah, it was getting sus.
Janet promised Mark by completing the task that she would perform sexual favours for Mark.
She's an adult.
He would be inducted into the British Secret Service, and he'd get recognition from then British Prime Minister Tony Blair.
For killing a child?
Yeah, no, for national security. Like, this guy knows the code. Yeah, but how is that national security? At the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean.
How is that national security? Okay.
Janet expressed John's death was a matter of national security and it was important that Mark completed this task.
Why didn't they just shoot the kid?
Why couldn't they go...
Also, they don't get the code if they kill him. Hang on. Did Mark not, like, question any of this?
But Mark did ask a question. He asked about the police and being arrested.
Okay.
After the act, Janet told Mark that she would be there. She would be there and she'd explain the situation and she'd get him out and it'd be all fine.
But how does she know where he'll be stabbed? Because he was told to take him to a quiet place, not a particular location.
He tells her.
Okay.
And she said, oh yeah, there'll be other agents around just to, like, watch your back. And
I don't think MI5 has the roster depth for this. I don't think they have the capabilities for this big man.
Apparently they're all just out watching them making
sure. I mean,
sure.
Wayne Rooney's part of their members. And
So the next day, which was June the 29th, 2003, Mark met John and they went shopping for a knife.
Together?
Yeah.
So he's going to make him buy the knife he's going to stab him with.
So it's not clear what reason Mark sort of gave John as to why they were shopping for a knife.
And John didn't raise any questions?
But Janet said that it was important John played a role in this decision.
Okay.
After the shopping, the two boys entered an alleyway in an area known as Goose Green.
Yep.
Where Mark dug the knife he purchased into John.
Jesus, he just went along with it.
I love you, bro, stated Mark as he thrust the knife in. Trust me, he said as John screamed. Shh, people will hear.
Bro, don't dob.
After waiting some time, Mark decided, yeah, it was about time to contact emergency services.
Okay.
And Mark described to the police that a male in a hooded jumper had come up to the two boys and attacked John.
Isn't England, or Britain, sorry, known for their, like, high levels of CCTV and shit?
The police checked the cameras.
Yeah.
The only two people on the camera were Mark and John.
He didn't even wear a disguise.
At the Wivenshaw Hospital, John had two stab wounds, one in the chest and the other in the abdomen, 6 inches deep, which pierced his kidney and liver and caused doctors to remove his gallbladder.
So he didn't even stab him in the heart.
That would make sense, wouldn't it? Because he loved his bro.
Yeah. Love you, bro.
Wasn't a Bon Jovi fan. Oh, no, that was shot, not stabbed. It was a terrible joke.
Thank you for this wrong but fun reference.
The second wound caused John to die twice on the operating table. But John did eventually recover and he returned home.
Oh, with his code to the jewels at the bottom of the lake.
He still got it and his brain tumour.
Yeah.
Mark was taken into custody.
Wait, he had a brain tumour as well?
Yeah.
So why not just wait for him to die?
No, that was too long.
What? What?
That was too long. They needed the jewels now.
But how do they get the jewels without his number?
I don't know.
This makes no sense.
Mark was taken into custody and believed that Janet would explain the whole situation. He'd be out any moment. It'd be all good. Tony Blair would understand.
He'd get a sucky.
Yeah.
From a adult secret agent from MI5.
But Mark just remained quiet and unhelpful.
That was my favourite scene in Cody Banks when he completed the mission and Elizabeth Banks' character just sucked him off. It was crazy.
Are you watching the R-rated version?
Watching the correct version, apparently.
After 4 months in the juvenile justice centre, he's sat there and...
Jesus, his grades are terrible.
Just waited for Janet.
I will wait for you.
Things started to piece together. And Mark experienced a bit of a wake-up call.
Then none of this fucking makes sense.
Detectives seized both Mark and John's computers, and 58,000 lines of text were found, which apparently would be about 46,000 feet high if written out on paper.
Okay.
It's a lot of words. A lot of talking. Detectives noticed a repetition of a certain word and its distinct spelling.
Yep.
Four people also used this spelling.
Who were they?
John, Janet Dobinson, Rachel West, and Kevin. The word was maybe, but abbreviated to MYBYE. This was odd.
I hate that spelling.
Same. Well, I don't know why we had to abbreviate everything in the early 2000s, but
we still do it now.
The Janet Dobinson account was accessed after the stabbing, but it was from John's home, at a time where John was the only one home.
What was it accessed to do? Do you know?
It was just logged into.
Okay.
John was arrested.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It came out that actually John had manipulated Mark, and manipulated Mark into carrying out John's murder, which was unsuccessful.
Wait, he planned for his own murder?
Yes.
So, is that a crime?
No, so this was a British first for inciting your own murder, or yeah, attempted murder.
Just be like Charlie Manson, he got his followers to just kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, John had fallen in love with Mark and realised the affection that John had for Mark was unrequited. So John became suicidal, and the way he planned to die was by having Mark tell him that he loved him.
As he stabbed him, but not in the heart.
No.
Okay.
John was Rachel, John was Kevin, John was Lindsay, and Janet Dobinson.
Jesus.
Both Kevin, the characters of Kevin and Janet Dobinson, had actually watched Mark masturbating into the webcam.
Yeah.
So, as I said before, yeah, John was charged with inciting his own murder, which was a first.
A fraud?
And yeah, they didn't know what to do with that.
They didn't get him for fraud?
Yeah, it was a bit...
Yeah.
It was a bit difficult, that one, but... Anyway. John's lawyer described John as withdrawn. John stated he felt unlovable, so he entered MSN as Rachel West. John was bullied, and he was referred to as Paki, a short... term slur, I believe, for a Pakistani.
Yeah.
Or gay, because of his olive skin colour and because he spent more time with girls.
So he spent more time with girls?
And he's getting bullied at school and being called gay.
Wait, he got called gay for spending time with girls?
Yeah, because he wasn't hanging out with the boys.
The high school dogging the boys.
The judge determined that he legitimately believed Mark thought he was interacting with all the characters. And that he genuinely believed he was completing a national service by killing John.
So he's a fucking idiot, is what the judge said.
Well, so the boys weren't given custodial sentences.
Okay. I mean, like, it is a self-contained incident, right? They hurt no one but themselves.
Exactly. But instead, they were ordered to have no unsupervised internet for either of them. And no contact between them.
Forever?
Forever.
Forever ever?
Forever ever. According to one report, John is doing well and has received the help he needed.
Yeah.
He now has a girlfriend, but it's not confirmed.
Okay.
That's just from one article, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Not sure of their source. There is no available news on Mark.
Okay.
John and Mark are not the real names of these individuals because of their ages. A suppression order was put in place.
Yeah.
However, a BBC news report, which you can unfortunately easily find, does... share the real name of John.
And they haven't been sued or asked to take that down?
Apparently not. I don't... There's an order in place. I don't understand.
I assume that for references and, like, legal things, we're not going to mention...
Yeah, because when it was originally reported, the BBC reported that a local, and then mentioned his name, was stabbed by a 16-year-old before they knew the facts of the case.
And they didn't remove it?
No. Still up. And as well as a picture of the 14-year-old John.
Not a fan of that.
No. But that's the case of Mark and John. And I went into it thinking, okay, MSN, yeah, probably going to be some underage adult interaction that's sex, not appropriate. Yeah, probably
child pornography.
Child pornography, pedophilia.
Which, I mean, technically, but it's child...
And I mean, as we got into it, I got the sense that the Rachel story instantly didn't add up. I was it's dodgy. Maybe this is, you know, he's getting told to do... talking sexy, dirty talking over the MSN chat, getting told to masturbate over MSN.
Dirty picture by Kesha.
No. And I just thought, okay, this is disturbing and it's probably someone inappropriate.
So I know some of the reason that MSN shut down is because they released a statement saying they couldn't monitor the safe talking between adolescents and children. Like, there's no safe way of doing it on the internet. And I mean, even today, like, we're seeing YouTube have, like, grooming problems. We've seen, like, I think TikTok has it as well. All these underage like websites that allow kids to communicate.
I mean, even now you can create a fake Facebook profile and say you're 14-year-old Sarah from New York, but you're realistically 70-year-old Brett from.
And there's no solution. Like, people aren't going to want to post their ID to a website in order to access it. And also, I think there'd be legal problems around that. And also, you could just steal IDs. Like, it's not impossible. I think the biggest thing, though, is, like, we watched a NextPo video a couple of weeks ago on another website that was, like, kids acting inappropriately or being targeted. And there's just, like, there's no solution to a safe way to have people who can't consent to things, like, able to access online systems by themselves. I don't think the answer is, like, the parents are to blame. I think the problem is that the technology just hasn't evolved in, like, in the same way as, like, our understanding around it is. Like, laws will always drag behind society, and we just haven't caught up yet. Which is what we saw with Silk Road as well. Like, just laws dragging behind internet communications.
Although the penalty in this one was obviously a little bit different, but that's probably down to age as well.
And also being a self-contained case in which,
But yeah, as we got into it, I actually didn't pick... A lot of people I've seen in forums picked immediately that John was behind all the characters, but I didn't pick it right up to the end.
I knew it was... I thought it was sus, but... It took me a while, but, like, it's just, like, it doesn't make any sense, the plot.
The plot was absolutely atrociously put together.
That was a fun case.
There is... Yeah, so there is a movie. It's called You Want to Kill Me, which is spelled the way that... Mark spelt it on the MSN chat. So U, the letter, WNT, 2, the number, kill me, question mark.
I think, if I remember quickly, you were talking about like an article or a book as well.
Yeah, there is a, I think that's...
I think you said it was called I Love You Bro or something.
Yeah, I think there's a book or something called I Love You Bro as well to do with the case. But incredibly interesting, I'd never heard of it, probably being in Australia and maybe it didn't quite make the headlines.
It's quite an interesting case. It's just another, one with young kids online.
And as I said at the beginning, we're seeing a new, you know, wave of internet crimes as different elements of the internet, like as we've just discussed about different profiles and not being the real person, Silk Road and all sorts
of... Like I said, the problem with online crimes is that the laws will always drag behind. It's almost like, you know, in exams where you read through the stuff that you're not allowed to do and you're like, oh, someone must have done that for them to ban it. It's the same with online. For something to be, like, banned online, someone has to first do it. Like, the idea of setting up, like, a system of, you know, like, ways to sell drugs and that is incomprehensible how deep that was. And also with this one, the idea of someone creating an elaborate ploy in order to either kill someone or, in this case, themselves... being a child is just... Oof.
What are your thoughts on the guilt of both boys? Do you think the sentence was appropriate? Well, not the sentence, you know what I mean? The punishment was appropriate, do you think?
I think what the judge did is the most sensible. This way you don't punish the boys for interacting with technology that, you know, is above how old they are. But you also, you know, you don't give them the stigma of being in the juvenile justice system. You monitor their online activities so this won't happen again. One, gullible, and two, setting up elaborate... cons, basically, and, you know, you also keep them away from each other, so Mark can't just, like, quote-unquote exact his revenge, and John doesn't, you know, live in danger. Because at the end of the day, the victim is the one who could turn into the perpetrator.
That's like, what I was about to ask you, whether you thought Mark's also punishment was suitable for you.
I don't think it was punishment. I think it was more of preventing a future crime of Mark just going and beating the shit out of John.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, self-contained crime, they only hurt each other. I don't think we can blame Mark for being an idiot, because, like, he was, but that's not a crime.
You know, and he was sort of...
He was probably lonely himself, too. You said, like, he was spending time on MSN, chatting up girls, that sort of thing, like...
You know, and he thought that he'd found this girl that was really beautiful and that was interested in him, and then she died... And then,
it's like catfishing, but you've gone, like, 40 extra steps.
I mean, as I said, the bit that kind of did it for me was when Rachel appeared again and was pregnant with Mark's child. I mean, I don't understand how that one was mixed up and he still didn't think anything, but...
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I also did, like, that sort of thing as a kid. Like, I'd go on...
What, you'd tell girls you were pregnant?
No. I knew a couple guys who created, like, fake girl accounts to, like, fuck with their friends, but...
that's awful.
I mean, like, I've also been on Messenger and, like... chat up girls or had conversations that were sexual. Like, it's not a very uncommon thing for like teenagers slash young adults to be doing. But yeah, interesting case. It's a short one, but still trying to return to form. We've been a bit hectic lately, so what's on the cards for next week, Robin?
Well, you said we can cover one of the first true crime cases that I came across when I was younger, and I'm so excited about this one.
Which one's that?
The Great Train Robbery.
I guess we chose it.
Yeah, we might play some Monopoly and learn about that one. You'll find out what Monopoly's got to do with it.
Sounds fun. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.